Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jenny, for the gift that she is to our church family. We pray that your Holy Spirit guides her tonight through her talk and through the conversations we have with each other around it. Amen.
Thanks, Charlotte. I'll speak into this. As Charlotte's given you a bit of a heads up and a preparation, this is going to be give you the opportunity to do some talking in groups and some discerning together as well. So, hi everyone. This is a part of a series that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, for anyone who's not been here, about being called to be a royal priesthood, and a little bit of a recap on some of that stuff that we've been talking about. We talked about royal being about rule, the rule of God being extended to the whole of God's creation. That is part of what the royal part of being called to be a royal priesthood is. And the priesthood is about the presence of God, embodying and living the presence of God in a way which takes it out and extends it again to the whole of God's creation. We talked about in that calling it being impossible to do in our own strength, but we do it apprenticed to Jesus, the only one who has lived up to that call perfectly, the only one who has perfectly extended the rule and reign of God in the world, the only one who has perfectly embodied the presence of God in his image. So that's what we've been talking about. And what we're wanting to do over this term is not only just to hear and to receive kind of passively, but to be talking and to be practicing and to be trying some stuff in groups and with one another as we all seek to follow Jesus together. So that's what tonight is all about. We're going to be taking some of the things that we've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks and putting them into conversation and into practice and to pray them for each other. So it's always good to read the Bible. Today, I'm just going to read a passage from Romans chapter 12. But before you turn to the books around you, I mean, you can if you want to. I mean, you always can, obviously. I'm actually going to read it from the Message version. Because one of the things that we've been talking about that royal priests do, that part of the historic part of being a priest was about offering sacrifices. But in this new season in which we all are given this call to be royal priests, taking the rule of God and the presence of God wherever we go, we do that the way that's modeled for us by Jesus is by sacrifice, by giving over ourselves. And in this letter, Paul, writing to the Roman church, puts it this way. I think, hopefully, the words are... Here we go. Yes. So you can read it in the NIV translation if you like, but here's from the Message. If you've got it on your phone, you know what to do. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." So living sacrifices is the way that the NIV translation puts it. And here it is. It's translated as placing our ordinary everyday lives and placing it before God as an offering. If we're royal priests, apprenticed to Jesus, we're offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And when we lay down our lives to Jesus, the one who has laid down everything to us, we receive from him more life that can be contained. It's a life greater than anything that can be contained in our lived years. It's an eternal life. It's a life greater than can be contained in our human capabilities. It's a life of extraordinary power. It's a life that is that spills over into an eternity. When we lay down our lives to Jesus, we receive back from him a life that we cannot even contain. It spills over. It's eternal, and it spills into eternity and spills into eternally significant works and wonders in our lives today, in our ordinary lives. So royal priests are strange to the world, called to the holiness and set apartness. Martin Luther King had this phrase about being called to creative maladjustment. He said that the world was ripe for an international institute of creative maladjustment, being maladjusted to the sinful structures of the world. Because we're adjusted to another kingdom, we're adjusted to the kingdom of Jesus. This is what it is to be called to be royal priests. And it's sacrificial. We see that in Martin Luther King's life in a very obvious way. We've prayed for brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. A few weeks back, we had somebody speaking about persecuted Christians in India. So we see around the world, particularly people, what sacrifice looks like in certain contexts. But for each of us, there are sacrifices in living lives which are strange to the world. And sometimes that's quite subtle, and sometimes it's quite striking. So I just want to talk about two specifics, and then we're going to get into some practices and some workshops and some discussion. I was talking to some people last night that I've been exploring some of this stuff around laying down lives and lives set apart for Jesus. I've been exploring it with them for the last year or so. And we were talking about what disciples are called to do. What does a life of being a disciple of Jesus, being an apprentice of Jesus, what does that look like? And one of them said, it looks a lot like falling over a lot and getting up again. And I was heartened and encouraged by that. So I commend that to you. Being an apprentice of Jesus means falling over a lot, getting it wrong a lot, but knowing that we do so in the company of one who forgives and empowers us again and again. So two ways in which we're called to sacrificial living. First of all, in our time, does Jesus get the first fruits of our time, or does he get what's left over? Does Jesus get the first fruits of our time? Do we build things around our time with Jesus, or do we squeeze him into the other things that we've got going on? First thing in the day, last thing at night, I always think, where are our first thoughts and our last thoughts offered? And secondly, another specific is our money, giving. Money does have a spiritual dimension. And Jesus said, where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. And in a mysterious way, we're shaped by what we do with our money. We are, our priorities are, I feel like I'm talking with this background music going on. Is that coming from the outside? Like a soundtrack. Jesus said, where our treasure is, there is our heart. And we recognize that when we give to something, we care about it more. Somehow our heart is shaped more by it. So what we do with our money is a significant part of our spiritual lives. It's part of how we lay down our lives. One historic guide for how we shape our giving is that many people choose to set aside 10% of their income. Jesus has got everything that we have. Everything that we have is given by him. But 10% is like a token, a representation of saying, and I give it back to you, Jesus. I give it back to you. There are some envelopes around about the place. There are some practical ways that you can give in this church. The envelopes on your seats are one way that you can do that with cash. I know these days nobody carries cash. Other people give through a standing order, and there are details at the back about how you can do that. But we also, in 21st century fashion, have got a contactless giving opportunity. So there are different ways of giving to the church. But I would say this is a good thing for us to be mindful of because money has a spiritual quality, and how we choose to use our money has a spiritual quality. Are we laying down our time? Are we laying down our money to Jesus and asking him to use all of us? Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is not something that we can do one limb at a time. We don't say a living sacrifice for long if we give a little bit of ourselves. If we had to lop off an arm and chuck it on the altar, we wouldn't live for very much longer. So to stay living, we need to stay whole. We can't say you can have half of me. You can have a little bit of my bank account, some of my diary, most of my relationships, a bit of my attention. Jesus invites us to give us the whole of him, and in return we receive back a life more than we can contain in our own lives.